Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That's what we felt like reading to you. We need your prayers for just a minute. I'd like to preach to you about your soul. Now when condemnation fell upon us when we were sinners, and that fear fell upon the inside of us, we thought a whole lot about our soul, didn't we? But how many times did it cross your mind today? Or how many times have you thought about your soul this week? You see, friend, let's just go back to the beginning. And we read over in Genesis that the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground, from a handful of dust. And he made him in his image, in his likeness. He's the only thing that the Lord took his time to personally put his hands on. And maybe, as was made mention of earlier, the little song, "He's Still Working on Me." I've made reference before about the painting on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel where you see Adam and God and they're touching fingers. That's a total misnomer. That's a misrepresentation. That's not how he puts his hands on us. That didn't happen just one time and never happen again. We're wrapped up in his arms.
Amen.
He's got his hands all over us.
Amen.
If he didn't, there's no telling what would happen to us or our soul. We read how that he took man, made him in his image and in his likeness, and then he did something. He already had done something that he hadn't done with any of his other creations. He put his hands on us. But then he did something that made us different. That made us different from the beasts of the field or the fowls of the air or the fish of the sea. That made us different from any other animal you can think of. He breathed into man's nostrils, and as a result, man became a living soul. If you know anything about English, there's an adjective and a noun in those two words. A living, describing the word soul, and soul being the noun. Not just twice dead and plucked up by the root. And we think, we describe salvation as somebody when they get saved, they're born to live. But I've got news for you. Your soul is going to live regardless, one way or the other. Your soul, you have one. I've seen folks, they call them sociopaths. They don't seem to have a conscience. Nothing seems to bother them. Just seems like they can do anything. And it doesn't seem to affect them in any way, shape, or form. Even those folks have a soul.
Amen.
Every man, woman, boy, and girl who has ever drawn a breath, whose heart has ever beat, has a soul.
Amen.
Now you pray for just a few
minutes.
Bless
you, Lord.
And ever since God breathed breath into the nostrils of Adam and Eve, and we could go all into that, but we're just going to start right there. Satan has tried his best to get man's soul.
Amen.
Even, now listen, do you know what happened? Do you know why Satan does the things that he does? Why that he is constantly at your heels? Why that every day you wake up, he's got something special planned to destroy you? You see, there was war in heaven. And he stood against God. And he lost. And he and a third part of the angels were cast down into the earth. And we read in Genesis chapter 3 how that when Eve and Adam was in a perfect place, that serpent, that fella Satan, the devil himself, beguiled Eve. He was smarter. He was slicker. And we're no match for him whatsoever. You say, well, if I'd have been there, you'd have done the same thing, and he'd have fooled you too.
Yeah.
That's right.
Help him, Lord.
And what did he use to fool Eve with? God's own word. How much has it been twisted down through time and down through the ages and even to this day that we live in, and it's slowly being twisted and turned until men think you can do anything and your soul will be all right.
Bless
you. I'll do what I want to do. Well, guess what? You have a soul and you'll be required of it one day.
That's it. Come on.
He is so smart, so subtle. He'll do anything to get at man's soul. Mm-hmm. We read where God called for Adam and Eve. He found out what they had done, and he pronounced the curse on man. He said, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. You see, every part of life is in regard to your own soul.
That's right.
The death that we must face one day, for it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. Do you pray for me for just a minute? The very death that we face is because Satan was after humanity's soul.
Amen.
The sicknesses that we have, the trouble, the trials that we face, everything that we have in life is in regards to your own soul. Now you pray for just a minute. You may think, well, that's not very important. Money might be more important. And men can win great fortunes and lose great fortunes in a heartbeat. And in the end, all die. And if they die with money, you know what happens to that money? It becomes someone else's. It is no longer yours. Once your heart stops beating, but guess what? Your heart may stop. Your lungs may stop filling with air. But your soul will live on in one place or the other when your life is through.
Amen.
Your soul. I can't do a thing about this man's soul or this woman's soul. The only one I can affect is mine. Let every man work out his own salvation with fear and much trembling. It's not a life and matter when you go to talking about your soul. Now you pray for me for just a few minutes. I'd really like to get where the Lord can free me. And if I don't, it's my fault. It's not yours.
Bless him, Lord.
And it's not God's.
Bless him.
Your soul. You may work at this body and get it to where it's muscular and strong and can endure and go for miles and miles. And in the end, the sin that brought about death we'll take that body down.
Amen.
Bodily exercise profiteth little. But let us exercise ourselves unto righteousness.
Amen.
Why righteousness? Why would that make a difference? Because it leads to the saving of the soul. Your soul matters. You know why there's fear when you think about dying? And it affects all of us. We're all human. Yeah. Even the most Christian person you know is human. And when it comes that time for them to cross over, there's a little bit of fear, a little bit of dread to leaving this world. But I'm here to tell you today, you better make preparations for your soul.
Amen.
Because it matters what you do and whether or not you know Jesus in this life. Now listen, you don't think Satan is after your soul? You don't think your soul is important? We talk about that. I've talked to my boys this week. When I bought the house that we live in, we paid $71,000. And I paid and paid and paid. I about got it paid for. But they bought houses just a year or so ago and spent 3.5 times that much. $300,000+. The thought of that scares me to death. But you know what's more fearful? You know what's more scary? The thought of dying and not making preparations for your soul.
Amen. Bless you, Lord.
Yes.
That property, that house you own, that car that's real nice that you paid a lot of money for, all that's irrelevant when you die.
That's right.
All that matters is your soul.
Amen.
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 That's it.
Now I give my soul to the Lord. I hope you have too.
Amen.
Amen.
That doesn't mean Satan's going to give up.
No.
You need a little scripture. You need some proof. Let's go down there. When Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, he was the Son of God, born of a virgin, come to take away the sins of the world, come to save his people. He knew what he had to do, and Satan knew what he had to do. And yet, while he's in the wilderness 40 days without bread, 40 days without anything to eat, his natural body, well, I'm sure, was weakened, and there appeared that old serpent, didn't he? He wasn't going to leave him alone. He thought, well, he's human too. And so he took him up to the temple, to the pinnacle of the temple, and said, oh, if thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down. If thou be the Son of God, make these stones into bread. He offered him all the kingdoms, all his kingdoms of the world in a moment in time. Oh, listen, you know why he was so desperate? You know why that he fought Christ so? You know why that he came by and tempted him? Because he was desperate for souls. He knew if Christ fulfilled what he was supposed to do, that would be the end. That would be the way of redemption for every lost soul. Aren't you glad that you trusted your soul to the man that died on the cross and rose again on the third and appointed morning? Aren't you glad that he made accommodations for your soul?
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Bless the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
How important is your soul? It costs heaven. It's the most expensive thing you'll ever own.
Amen.
That $300,000+ house is nothing in comparison to what your soul costs.
That's right.
That $55,000 truck out there in the parking lot is nothing in comparison to what it cost to remedy my soul.
Amen.
What did it cost, preacher? They searched the heaven. Who searched? God did.
That's right.
He searched the heaven, the earth, and beneath the earth. And none was found worthy. And over in Revelations we read where the angels rejoiced because the Lamb said he would go. Oh, what did it cost for your soul? It cost heaven the best that it had. It cost God his only begotten Son. Aren't you glad? Oh, listen. And you know what? The good part about it was, it was the plan from the beginning. When he said, let us make man, he was talking to his Son, and Christ right there in that instant, in that moment, knew that he would die on Calvary, that he'd be spit upon, that he'd be beaten. You tell me, is your soul precious? Why, yes, it is. Satan never takes a day off. He never is without a plan. He's always in every Christian's life trying their best to kill every bit of influence that they've got so that they will not win one more soul. Oh, listen, is your soul precious? Why, yes, it is. It cost heaven Jesus.
Amen.
He lived the splendors of heaven, a place without any sin, a place with no death, no sickness, no hatred. Oh, he left all that. A perfect place. So because we needed a remedy for sin, because our souls needed saving. Why? Because we were his creation and he loved us. Listen to this verse. For God so loved. You talk about a love. No greater love as a man than this. For God so loved the world. Aren't you glad that he loved us? If he didn't love us, he might not have been willing to pay the price for our soul. For God so loved the world that he gave. Thank you, Lord. His only begotten Son. Oh, you didn't have to be a priest. You didn't have to be Israeli. You didn't have to be you didn't have to be white. But you had to be lost, and you had to want it more than anything. That whosoever, I'm one of those whosoever's. I'm a nothing and a nobody, but I know where my soul is going.
Amen. Amen.
That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what Paul had to say about your soul? You know what Paul had to say about his soul? For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that.
Thank you, Lord.
Are you Baptist? Let's go a little deeper. Are you missionary Baptist? You see, I don't preach much doctrine, but I'm going to right here.
Bless him, Lord.
Are you saved?
Amen.
If God gives you another day and your eyes open in the morning, are you going to be saved?
Amen.
And if you make it to your birthday next year, and you live another year, and God blesses you all that time, and they wheel out the cake, and it's got the candle on it, and you start to blow. Are you going to be saved then?
Amen.
How about when you're laying in that bed, and that heart is skipping a beat every once in a while, and the doctor said, don't look like it's going to be much longer. And you're about to close your eyes for the last time. Are you going to be saved then?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
How about?
Thank you, Jesus.
How about when you're laying in that grave and you may have been there?
years or 50 years or 100 years.
Bless him, Lord.
And you hear a trumpet. And you hear your name. Are you going to be saved? Woo! Are you going to be saved then?
Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise your holy name.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
The dead in Christ shall rise first.
Yeah.
And those of us, maybe 1,000 years, it might be tonight. Those of us that are alive, woo, and remain, shall be called up to meet him in the air in a twinkling of an eye. That's pretty quick, ain't it? Oh, you know what? They'll never be able to measure. They tried to. They'll never be able to measure the time increment. That a twinkling of an eye is how come, preacher? Why can't they put a number on it? Because time shall be no more.
Amen.
No time for you to remedy the situation with your soul. When he comes back and we see him on the clouds of glory, you better have made preparations for your soul.
Amen.
What brought you to your knees? That fear of being unprepared. When it came to your soul. All right, I believe the Lord's going to preach me a little bit. I won't be much longer.
Bless the Lord.
You see, we take it for granted. Men take it for granted. And say we're going to live forever. We're not. I can only find 2 instances in the Bible where men did. Where men didn't die. Actually, one of them died and came back. And one was translated. But me, I'm going to die. Unless Jesus comes before I'm... And you know what? I go to the grocery store every once in a while and I get a gallon of milk. And you know what I look for when I buy that gallon of milk? It has an expiration date on it. I don't want to get one that's already expired because that might not taste very well.
Yeah.
But listen, I could look right back here. There's no date right there. If you looked on the hand, why, there's no date right there. Right here's an ankle. There's no date right there. But it's appointed unto man wants to die.
Amen.
So that is me and that is you.
Amen.
I don't want to face my, I don't want to go to my appointment unprepared for my soul. Do you? And I don't want you to either. How about it? And I'm so glad you don't have to go unprepared anymore. I'm glad you made preparations this past Sunday. What a wonderful thing to happen. Oh,
yeah.
I'm so glad one day I knelt on my knees and said, Jesus, please save me. And I made preparations for my soul. Now pray on for just a minute.
Bless you, Lord. Bless
you, Lord. A man had a certain parcel of ground and it brought forth plentifully. And he said he had to tear down his barns and build bigger because he had nowhere to store everything that God had blessed him with. Oh, listen, how blessed we are and how little that we are thankful.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Look what I've done.
Bless you, Lord.
Look what my hands have provided myself. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger ones. And I'll say to myself, ah, soul, thou hast many goods laid up for many days. Eat, drink, and be merry. But you know what the Lord had to say? Thou fool, this night. You know how much you got to enjoy all that stuff?
Zero. None.
You know where that went? That was somebody else's. But you know what happened to him? He died without making preparations for his soul. Now I know you may not think much. Thou fool, this night thou soul shall be required of thee, and then who shall these things be? What has a man profited if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The deed to my house and the title to my vehicles wouldn't get it done. Jesus paid it all. All to him. Oh, sin had left the awful stain. He washed that baby whole. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
When it came to your
thank you, Lord.
He didn't go to the dollar store when it came to your soul. Only the best would do.
Yes.
He didn't skip. He didn't try to bargain. He didn't say, well, I've got this little extra I don't need. I'll give that. He searched for heaven, and he found the best, and he sent it for you because your soul needed redemption. Aren't you glad he sent the best for you?
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Bless the Lord.
Thank you.
Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You see, your soul matters.
Amen.
Your soul matters.
Yes, it does.
Where did that soul come from? We covered this. Do you remember? Did you pay attention? We covered this. Where did that soul come from? God breathed. So it came from there. And when he comes to this earth again, he's not interested in this pretty face. And I'm just joking. He's not interested in your cars or your cash or your house. The one thing that came from there is going back. The soul. The soul. I know we have folks and they have different beliefs, different traditions, and maybe wasn't raised in church and things like that, and they believe different things. Your soul is what's going. And we can say all that in one vein, but then again, we believe that stuff about dust thou art and unto dust thou shalt return, right? If that's true, the only thing left is your soul. Does it not say we shall be known as we are known? Mm-hmm. We believe in the book, right?
Amen.
We believe in the Lamb's book of life, the book sealed within and without with seven seals. Mm-hmm. And no man could open it. Mm-hmm. But the Lamb had prevailed, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He could open it. And he writes a new name.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can't, and I'll be down here in just a minute. You can't. It's not possible. But let's just imagine for a second. You could look on the pages. You could search the book over, and you wouldn't find the name Mike Strange.
Mm-mm.
You see, that name's not in there.
Mm-mm.
You need an example.
Yes.
Okay. You remember the name Daniel, don't you? Mm-hmm. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, don't you? Did you know that wasn't their name? That wasn't their name. They were known by God's people as a different name. He'd write a new name in a little white stone. And the one that receiveth it and the one that giveth it is the only ones that knows the name. There was once a time within my heart. I wasn't condemned to die. I was walking in sin's way. Jesus paid a ransom for my soul. I made this world goodbye. When he calls me, it won't be Mike Strange. When he calls me, it'll be that name that he wrote. When he calls that name, I may be cold and dead. This flesh, the worms eaten up and rotted and decayed and only the bones left. Or I may be in the ocean down deep, thousands of meters below. I don't know. But when he calls that name, I'll rise to meet him in the air. And live, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Thank God I made preparation for my soul.
Thank you, Lord.
They're soldiers, airmen, men in the Navy, thousands of feet underwater. That time, there are people buried. That time and people have forgotten. But if they made preparations for their soul, God's not forgotten.
Amen.
And when he calls them by that name that he gave them, they'll answer.
Amen.
Remember the rich man? There was two men in that story, a rich man and Lazarus. One of them had a name, one didn't. I've got a name.
Amen.
I used to, didn't have one. You might have seen Mike Strange on the birth certificate, but as far as God was concerned, he didn't know who I was till I asked him to save me.
Amen.
And he gave me a new name. And when he calls that name, I'll rise to meet him in the air.
Amen.
You see, we only know the rich man as the rich man because God never gave him a name. He was fired sumptuously every day. He was in royal apparel. But he died. And in hell, he lift, L-I-F-T. That's another verb. Mm-hmm. If it said E-D on it, that would mean it happened and it was over with. But it doesn't, folks. Well, preacher, I use the New Modern Version. You better read the King James Version.
Yeah.
Because the King James Version still says L-I-F-T.
Yeah.
In hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Yep. You know what he's still doing today? He's still begging for mercy. He's still begging for one drop. He's still begging for somebody to hear him, but it's too late because he didn't make preparations.
Amen.
For his soul.
Thank you.
You see, there's a requirement. We want to pretend that we can escape through life and do what we want to do. But somewhere, when you meet Jesus, you'll have a duty. You will have an expectation of you. You will be required to deliver your soul. And Mama didn't take me to church won't be an excuse.
Amen.
And I was raised agnostic won't be an excuse. You see, if you never have darkened the door of Dutch Bottoms Baptist Church, if you've never been in the sanctuary where the name Jesus was mentioned, I fully believe and am persuaded somewhere or another God will send an old preacher, or you'll hear it on the radio, or you'll see it on TV. All this technology is just terrible, preacher. Well, it provides a way for God's word to be spread. I believe God will make a way where you'll have opportunity. Is this not right? I believe God will make a way where every man, woman, boy, or girl will have opportunity to hear the gospel and make preparations for their soul. I'll go a little farther. You may not like this. I believe that I read where over in Hebrews that men like Abraham and people like that hadn't received the promise, but they had seen it afar off. I believe God made a way for all those that were born before that he hung on Calvary and rose on the third appointed day. I believe he made a way where they could be redeemed as well. I'm here to tell you today, you'll stand without excuse when you stand before Jesus if you've not made preparations for your soul.
Amen.
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 So how is it with your soul? And if you're good, how is it with that person you love who's not here tonight? How is it with that person you love whose name you call out whenever you get real earnest with the Lord and you pray? How is it with their soul? Because you know what Satan would like to do? He'd like to destroy every bit of confidence that person has in you. He'd like to get you in the heat of the moment to open your mouth and spew out that poison so that they would never admire or listen to you. He would like to get you angry, to get you bitter. He'd like to even get you to the point where you'd hold a grudge and you'd sit. You might come to church every service, but you'd sit and let that stuff control you to the point to where God couldn't use you to be a blessing.
That's right.
I mentioned it the other day. I'm going to mention it again. Remember the man sick of the palsy, one born at four? How they had to get him up on the roof and how they had to tire off part of the roof and then they had to lower the man down. Wouldn't it have been much easier just to carry that man through the door? But they couldn't do it, could they? Why? Why couldn't they do it? Because there was a bunch of people standing in the way. You're here, and you're angry, and you're bitter. You're letting Satan get the best of your soul. He knows he can't have it. But he knows exactly what to throw in your face to get you all stirred up. He lives between your ears. Did you know that? And he knows what bothers this fella may not faze me at all. But he knows exactly where to hit me. He knows what to throw in front of me to get me weak, to get me where I won't listen to him, to get me where I am of no good whatsoever. Friend, the Lord did not save you to sit still.
Amen.
The Lord saved you to be a soul winner.
Amen.
Did you hear that? To be a soul winner. I would say, without beyond a shadow of a doubt, everybody under the sound of my voice knows a sinner. Knows a person that's lost that needs salvation. Are you going to do your best? Because they need to make preparations for their soul. Are you going to be the one? I don't know how to do it, preacher. We start with this. Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is how you win people to the Lord. The word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to separate the bone from the marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There is not a person that's not covered within the lids of this book.
Amen.
We're all in here. Mm-hmm. Romans Road is a good place to start if you're talking to a sinner. Romans 10, I believe it's verse 8 through 10.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm afraid folks think because they've been to a church service once, they're okay. This is my experience. I'll tell this and then I'll hush. And I believe you would agree with me. It's not hard for a sinner, and Satan will put up everything he can to keep them from doing this much. It's not hard for a sinner to come set through a service, especially if we're cold and dead. That's pretty easy. But if they come again and again and again, you know what that gospel will do? It'll bust up that hard-hearted heart, that hard ground. It'll get rid of the stones. It'll clear away the thorns and the thistles. And eventually that hard heart will become good ground that can produce life. If you can just get a lost person consistently under the sound of the gospel. Now that's not going to happen if we're hard-hearted ourselves.
Amen.
That's not going to happen if we're cold and indifferent on God, if we're angry, if we're bitter. You know what they're going to see? Something they don't want.
That's
it. So until we can get them to the altar, let's love them into the pew.
Amen.
Until we can get them to the altar, and listen, I can pull all I want to. And you know what's going to happen? Even if I do get this young man to the altar, he's going to be angry and resentful. But he can't resist the hand of God.
That's it. Amen.
He can't resist when God comes calling.
Amen.
It won't do me any good to pull and tug and get him down there. But when God goes to dealing with that soul, until we can get up to that point, let's love.
Amen.
Love.
Amen.
Love on each and every one that comes through the door. They can't help who they are. They can't help what they look like. But guess what they have in common with you and with me? They all have a soul.
Amen.
You want to know something else they've got in common with you and with me? They all need a Savior.
Amen.
May I introduce you to this friend of mine? Oh, aren't you glad you met him? Aren't you glad he made a remedy for your soul?
Amen.
All right.
Thank you.